Well, praise the Lord. I have come alone this time. Sister Rita did not come with me. But she will come next time. And I'm just going to ask, I know some of you, but how many do I know from when we were here in April? How many were here? These are the older students. Okay. And how many of you are new students? Oh, praise the Lord. This table, mostly new students then, right?
Yeah. And we have a line also.
Oh, part-time. Okay, how many are part-time students? Okay, so that's this table here, and this is mostly older students. New, old, part-time. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I found myself in the night season bringing a word to you in my sleep. And I'll try to be obedient to the heavenly vision. Now, for those of you that know me, you will say, I've heard this before. But for those of you that I don't know, you haven't heard it before. And how long have you been in session now as a school? How many weeks?
Three weeks.
So your school is new. Amen. And Brother Edmar has not yet had time to teach you all these things. But surely he's going to get to it. Amen. Now, you have a new school. You have a new curriculum. You have a curriculum that is based on the kingdom of God. The message of the kingdom of God. Your purpose of being here is not what it might have been a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, you might have come because you wanted to be a pastor. Brother is not going to train you to be a pastor. You're going to learn how to become sons of God. Sons of God. Isn't that better than a church position? But you're still very young. And as you grow in maturity in the Word of God, if you remain faithful to God, many of you are going to become leaders in the house of God. One brother asked me, why don't you keep saying the word church? Yes, you will become leaders in the church of God. You know, not my soul, but it's not the
pulong sa Ginoo.
It is a good word.
Maayo man na siya nga pulong paminahon.
But if I keep saying church, 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 you're going to begin thinking about something else that is not really in God's order. So when I say you're going to become leaders in God's church, I mean the true church. I'm thinking of Brother Roman and Brother Martin here with us today. 20 years ago, we went to the Czech Republic. They were young people like you are. How old were you, Martin? 18, 19? 16. Brother Roman was only recently married and none of these children existed. But they came and they had a hunger for the truth. Now they are leading a fellowship of people, a church of God. Now they are elders. And this is what I see God's future for you. Sisters marrying godly men.
Amen.
Men marrying godly sisters. Joining together to work together for the kingdom of God. Becoming mighty people in God's kingdom. God is going to give His authority to those who are faithful and true. In the years to come, there are going to be mighty miracles done. And this mighty work of God is not going to be coming out of the old order church system. Like an old garment, these old things are going to pass away. Do you want to be part of that? Do you want to be part of that? Then you've come to the right place. Amen. Now I want to talk about the kingdom of God. I think that I could ask you questions about the kingdom of God, especially those of you that have heard us before, and you would answer my questions correctly. I would say, what is the kingdom of God? And you know, Jesus came and He preached the kingdom of God. Now, you see, there was a lot of misunderstanding of what that meant. Shall we call Him the prophet, John the Baptist? The prophet John was the forerunner of Jesus. And he cried out and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand."
Mm-hmm.
That means that you cannot have the kingdom, you cannot participate in the kingdom unless you repent. And we need to know, what does this word repent mean? If God is calling you to repent, what is He asking for? Does He want you just to say some words? Oh, I'm sorry I got caught. I'll try not to do that again. No, to repent means you must change. It means your heart must change. Your desires must change. Your goals, your ambitions must change. Amen.
Amen.
And you see, we came to Jesus with these things in our soul, and we thought they were okay. Jesus was good to us. He forgave us our sins. But He wanted more than just forgiven people. When He talked about His kingdom, He was talking about a place that He wanted to live. The kingdom must have a king. And the king must live in the kingdom. What good is a kingdom if the king lives far away? Amen. And so repentance is the beginning, it's the opening of the door to the kingdom of God. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Now Jesus began to give descriptions of what the kingdom was all about. Do you know that all the parables in Matthew are about the kingdom of God? And so in the 13th chapter of Matthew, after He told the parables of the sowing of the seed, and by the way, the sowing of the seed is about the kingdom of God. When we bring the Word of God and we preach the Word of God, we are scattering the seed of the kingdom. I have a bag full of kingdom seed here. And I come over here to this table, and then I come over here, and likewise.
Here.
So the word that we bring is scattering the message of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
some of you are going to have hearts of good soil. Some, but nobody here today. What's he saying? I don't know. It just doesn't, I can't see it. Not good soil, is it? So the Word of God being sown into you is an expression of the kingdom of God. What's going to happen to that word that comes to you? Is it going to be quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword? Is it going to pierce into you? Is this word going to say, oh my, I have some things that I must change if I want to be among the sons of God? Is this word going to come to you because it is life and light? And convict you of some darkness that's inside of you. The King wants a clean temple. The kingdom is getting to know our God. It is discovering that He is a holy God. You know, as I was laying in my bed, almost asleep, I heard another word that just comes to me now. If you come here to this Bible school, and you want to hold on to a secret sin, if you're not ready to let go of it, you better leave now. Because I guarantee you, this word will expose this thing. And God is saying, you can repent and you can deal with it now. Or with much embarrassment, it can be shouted from the housetop. Which way do you want it? I want it now to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's get off to a clean start. Let the Holy Spirit have His work. This is not just a school of the Word, but this is a school of the Holy Spirit. The school of the Holy Spirit is not just clapping and dancing. It is hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say. It is obeying what the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart in the night hours.
ang pag ang buti pasabot ni nga atong sundon kay kun unsa ang isulat sa Espiritu Santo sa Dios nga igsoon.
So I was in Matthew 13, was I not? And I'm looking at somewhere around verse
44.
Oh, this is a good, this, I tell you, this whole chapter is so good. Did I say to the new ones that we preach an end time word? What that means is that we are living in the end time. End time message means that we are preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. End time message means we are not just preparing to fly away some glad morning. But it means that we are going to be overcomers. We are going to overcome to the end. We are going to go through great tribulation that this world has never known. Some of us are going to lay our life down in the process. Some of us will lay our life down at the end. But it is a message that self must die. The message is that only Christ can be seen in me. If only Christ is seen in me, when I get up to speak, the brother has forgotten my name. That's good. He just remembers it's a man of God. That's all I want. Are you with me? Amen. So let's read this 44th verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, which is which? Is there a difference? No. She's heard me before. No, there is no difference. God is a heavenly God. Kingdom of heaven means it's a spiritual kingdom. Kingdom of this world means it's a natural kingdom. Now let me ask you, can you see with these eyes a spiritual kingdom? Look at me. Can you see the kingdom of God in me? Do you know that the kingdom of God is in me? How do you know? By the Spirit. If I bear the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit is what grows on the tree. That means that the tree is in here. If I bear the fruit of unrighteousness, that means it's a poison vine. It is bringing forth bad fruit. And so many places in the church system, the men are bringing forth bad fruit. Scandals, corruptions, lying, cheating, unfaithfulness. This is not the kingdom of God. So, I keep wanting to read the 44th verse. Again, another parable about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in the field. Now he didn't say that the kingdom of God is something hidden in some field somewhere. But he said, I'm going to tell you a little story. It's going to be like the treasure in the field. When we were coming on the road today from Butuan, there were big rice paddies that went all the way to the mountain. Now, if you heard a rumor that somewhere out in that field is the kingdom of God, but it's down below the water level, and you have to find it. Now those are very big fields. But suppose that was the way you had to find the kingdom of God. So you would take a long metal rod, and you would go in mud and water up to your knees. And then down the other side, and you're looking for the kingdom of God. How many of you have ever been looking for the kingdom of God? Let me ask you, some of you folks at the new table here, how old are you boys?
17.
Oh, 17, that's a good age. Is anybody 19? 20?
19.
19, okay. Well, I'm not sure yes, at the age of 17, yes, I was beginning to look for the kingdom of God. It didn't bother me very much. I thought, oh, kingdom, yeah, kingdom's out there somewhere. But by the time I got to be 20 or 21, I thought, here I have been all these years hearing the word of God and in church, and I still don't know what is the kingdom of God. I mean, I knew the Bible. I said, Jesus spent so much time talking about the kingdom of God, and here I am, 20, 21 years old, I still don't know what is the kingdom of God. So one day I was in a bookstore, and I saw a little book on the shelf, and the title of the book was The Kingdom of God in America. So I bought the book. Now, at the age of 20, I didn't have much money. I was still in school. I did not have any income. But apparently, I wanted to know badly enough that I must have spent a whole dollar buying that book. And I thought, now I have the answer. I will just read this book. I threw the book away. You know why? When I opened it up, it was all about the churches and the denominations. I mean, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopal, Assembly of God, Pentecostal Holiness. I mean, names and names and more names. And I thought, that can't be the treasure Jesus was talking about. There's nothing precious that a man would give everything he has to find out all about these denominations. It's got to be something more. So I come back and I read this verse again. Treasure hid in the field. It's there. You just have to find it. I mean, God doesn't just come along and, there you go, there's the kingdom of God. See how easy that was? You didn't have to. It didn't cost you anything. You didn't even have to look for it. You didn't have to pray. You didn't have to seek God. I mean, it just fell in your lap. Now, how can that be precious? How can that be a great treasure? But he said, a man has found. Now he's out in a field, and he knows he doesn't own that field. It's somebody else's field. But what he found, he really liked it. And he wanted to possess the treasure. He didn't really care about the field. But he wanted the treasure that was in the field. And he couldn't just dig it up and carry it out because the security guards would say, "Hey, what are you doing with that? You're a thief. You can't have that." So he's going to have to pay for something. Are you with me? But Brother Mark, the Bible says salvation is free. I can't pay for salvation. So maybe we're not talking about just salvation, are we? We're talking about something that goes beyond your salvation. We're talking about something that goes beyond born again and baptized in water. More than just baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken tongues. Oh yes, that happened to me 35, 40 years ago. I don't know. Do you know that you can go back and sin after you're born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit? Did you know that? And you have to repent again. So now I'm in my early 30s. I'm in a church. Born again, baptized. I wasn't the pastor, but I had, you know, they made me all kinds of titles. No, not bishop. Elder. But my heart was cold. And I didn't have the kingdom of God. And I thought to myself, how sad that this pastor promotes me to these positions and he cannot see the desperate condition of my soul. One day I went to a meeting. By the way, a pastor warned me not to go to that meeting. Oh, they'll deceive you there. That made me more curious. I could tell you the name of the man, but I'm not going to. Because today I would never follow that man. But God used that man. He used him, he laid hands on my little daughter. And she was healed. And I was broken. My hard heart, my stiff neck was broken. My stiff neck was broken. I went home, and there were tears came to my eyes. I said, "Oh God, you are so good. I didn't deserve this. My heart is so cold toward you. There's sin in my soul. But I made a decision. See, I'm telling you, I found a treasure. I made a decision. I said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow your ways. And from this day on, I am never going to turn again. Do you know what happened? The mouth of hell opened up against me. The flames of the devil came against me. Rent me, tore me. Tried to destroy everything in my life. I went through 6 or 7 years of the worst tribulation of my soul ever in my life. You see, it didn't bother the devil that I was the Sunday school teacher, that I was the Sunday school superintendent, that I was the elder. It didn't bother the devil at all. He left me alone. But when I said, from this day on, he went against me to destroy me. Now I'm asking you, what is the price that this man is going to have to pay for that field? You can't buy the field with this. $100,000. That ought to buy it. Yeah. You know that $100,000 is not in my wallet. No. I had to pay. I had to pay. I had to overcome. I had to overcome hell. I had to be ready to lose everything that I had. And you know what? Almost all of what I had, I did lose. But you know what? The Lord gives it back. Amen. So it says here, for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field.
Oh,
Now, if you're only 16 or 17 years old, and I say, well, you have to give everything that you have. Well, okay, I have a couple of shirts, I have a couple of pair of denims, you know, pair of shoes. I really don't have much. No, no problem, I can give it all. So that's not really a test for you, is it?
Trust me. God will test you. It won't be precious to you unless God tests you. Wait till you're married. Wait till you have three little children. Maybe four. Wait till you have a job. Wait till you have a place that you wanted to go. You know, it isn't just going to be one time. It's going to happen again. And it's going to happen again. And it's going to keep happening in your life. It's going to happen until the day you die. The Lord would say to you, my son, will you endure all for me? My daughter, will you yield to me? Will you give up your ambitions? See, there's going to be a price. Well, there's other good verses, so let's go on to some others. Let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Luke 17. Verse
20.
The new students. Are those King James Bibles?
No, King James.
Those are nice, aren't they?
They give the Bible to us.
I'm sorry, I didn't have enough for the old students. But you see, you know the Word of God better than they do. See, I am so glad to see all the Bibles opened up here today. Hey, you're in a Bible school. Bible school means you bring your Bible. Amen. Okay, so the kingdom of God is a spiritual heavenly kingdom. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation.
May mga Pariseo nga nangutana kang Hesus, kung kanus anak, maghari ang Diyos. Mitubag siya ang paghari sa sa Dios dili butang at inyong makita.
So when are we going to see this kingdom?
Ano sa man nato makita kini nga maong gingharian?
Wouldn't you like to see the kingdom of God? Well, you know, actually, I have to admit, I would really like to see it. What would I like to see? I would like to see the whole world submitted under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So what did the Pharisees mean when they said, when are we going to see your kingdom? What kind of expectation did they have? What was the mindset of the people of Jerusalem in the days of Jesus? They wanted to be their own country. They wanted their own king. They did not want the Romans ruling over them. They wanted to make their own government. Suppose you were to ask the Lord, when are we going to see the kingdom of God in the Philippines? Every time I pick up the newspaper in the hotels, it's this official is corrupt, and this one is being investigated, and this one has lied, and do you think if we could elect a born again Christian and have all the senators? Do you have senators here? What are they called?
Yeah.
Senators, yeah. All the senators are God fearing, good, spirit filled men of God. Would you have the kingdom of God? No. You'd just have another government with men. Men running them. Yeah, good men, but still men. And since Satan is the prince of this world, he would soon have them corrupted. He would teach them how to bribe and we have a brother here that knows what goes on the inside. He's been there. No, he wasn't the mayor. But he worked for the mayor. The kingdoms of this world are corrupt. Amen. So it's not going to be something that you see with your eyes. Now listen to what he said. This is people that are looking for a kingdom on this earth that they can see. The next verse, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
Walay makaingon ani ara or ato ara kay ang paghari sa Dios ana sa sulod niya.
All right, so where is the kingdom? In me, in you, in you, in you. So, is that where the king lives? And he'll live in that temple as long as you keep it clean. One time a brother came to my house a long, long time ago. And he said to me, the Lord desires to dwell in your house. Sometimes he's welcome, sometimes he's not welcome, so he leaves. How would you like to get a word like that? I thought, I guess I better do something about this. I don't want him leaving. Amen. So let's go on. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So in other words, you already read that. So in other words, you don't go looking here or there to try to find the kingdom of God. Now, the system of religion, I don't know how to describe them. The system of big name, big time religion. The system of television evangelists. Where names become big. Names become remembered by every house. Oh, that's Jimmy, that's Bobby, that's, you know. Yeah, you know. Tutunski. Oh. Hey, man. I thought you had an Eastern European name there for a minute. Okay. Amen.
Yeah.
Now where are we going? Oh, it's low here and low there. We had this for many years and still have sometimes in America. Oh, the kingdom of God is in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So thousands of people went low here and low there. And then the kingdom of God was in some place in Florida. Low there. Churches loaded their whole fellowship in a bus and they drove for thousands of miles to Florida. And I talked to some of the people that were involved in this. And I said, what are you looking for? What are you going there for? And they said, well, these are miracles that this man is doing. This must be the power that God is going to show us at the time of his coming. But they weren't real miracles. And within 3 or 4 more weeks, the man fell into sin. That was the end of Lo there. But there'll be more. And many, many people will continue to go, and they'll load their buses, and they'll drive for many, many miles. Why? Because they want to see something with their eyes. They cannot believe that the kingdom of God is hidden in your heart. So we will get the kingdom first of all in me. And when the kingdom comes in me, in you, and you, and you, then it's going to come to the world. First in here. And he said to his disciples, verse 22, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. Did you translate it? Oh, okay. Amen.
Amen.
And they shall say unto you, see here or see there. This is verse 23. See here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them.
Adunay daghan mga moingon, tu adito, o di adiri. Apan ayaw ka mo pag-adto, aron pag-tuti ni ini.
Go not after them,
amen,
nor follow them.
Ayaw kamo pagsunod niato nagsulti nagsubo.
Are the Christians of today reading the Bible?
Amen.
Nagbasa pa kang Kristohan ng tanong sa Biblia? Moro wala naman kay Maro, bisan asam ni Lord, bisan asam pasting to ang tugas.
Are the pastors of today reading the Bible?
Kita kaha mga langgat sa Dios, mga pastor, nagtuon ba ka sa pulong si Ginoo? Okay, mura naman uga ang ilong tatong himasingon.
Somewhere around 1977, 78, I was part of another church. It wasn't a denomination, it was an independent spirit church. There was a pastor. He was a good man. He had a gift. He had an anointing. He had a good understanding of the Word of God. But he also had an ambition to become big. And in those days, there was a man low here in Korea. His name was Chow.
Chow,
I don't know. Anyway, this man had the biggest church in the world. So this pastor and many, many other pastors got on the airplane and they flew to Seoul.
Sa
And they sat in a big congregation of tens of thousands of people. And they heard Dr. Chow speak. Now the pastor said, I heard him say it. He said, I want to find out what this man is doing, and then I want to do that like he's doing it, so we can be big. So he went into a little grotto. You know what a grotto is? It's like a little cave that they had where people could go into these little caves and they could pray. And to this day, I believe that he opened his soul to a spirit. No, I'm talking about a pastor who was a good man. He was a good man. But he had an ambition to make his church a kingdom. The man came back to New York, and my wife said to me, something has changed in that man. I didn't see it, but she was very sensitive to the spirit, and she said, he's not the same man. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He sounds like the same man. He looks like the same man. She said, no, trust me. Something happened to him in Korea. Within 1 year, he ordained a woman to be his associate pastor. By the way, he was married, he had 3 or 4 little children, and his wife was a lovely, beautiful woman. The woman that he made his associate pastor was from a very troubled house. She was married to an abusive alcoholic man. You don't need to know the rest of the story. Two marriages broke up. They married each other. His whole church blew up. Pieces went everywhere. You see, Jesus knew when he said, don't go looking low here and low there. You're going to find something that's not the kingdom of God. What time do you want me to quit? What time is your lunch?
11:30.
Alright, we got 15 more minutes. Praise the Lord. Shall we go on? Okay, I heard a yes. Alright, now let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Back to Matthew chapter 20. Now, second year students, please bear with me. Maybe you need to hear it every 6 months or so. But they haven't heard it. Amen. James and John had ambitions. They wanted a place in the kingdom of God. And their mother had ambitions also. Jesus. Oh, blessed Jesus. Hallelujah. Great and mighty Jesus. Yes, mother, what do you want? He knew she wanted something. I want my sons. Yes, I'm a good Jewish mother. I want my sons. I want the best for my sons. Can one have the right side and the other the left side? What would those positions be? Vice Christ, maybe? Second Vice Christ? First Vice Christ? Secretary of, what do you call? Minister of, what's the highest minister? Minister of War, maybe? Oh, Minister of Defense, yes. In other words, if he's got the army, he's got lots of power. And the other one will have the finance. All right, so we got the top two positions after. And so they wanted these positions. Now, brethren, this is the 20th chapter of Matthew. When you get to chapter 23, he's in Jerusalem for the last week of his life. So that means these disciples have been hearing this message of the kingdom of God now for almost 3.5 years. So don't be too hard on me for preaching it again. Three and a half years with Jesus in person, and they didn't see it. They didn't understand that the kingdom is in here. Peter and James and the disciples, they wanted the same kind of kingdom that the Pharisees wanted. We're going to make him sit on David's throne. We're going to put the Romans out of here. Then maybe we'll go out and capture some Philistines. Whatever. That was their vision of the kingdom. And Jesus said to them, He said, are you able to drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? That would be verse
22.
And Jesus said to them, you will indeed be baptized with my baptism, and you will indeed drink of my cup. Okay. Then what did Jesus say to them? Jesus said to them, verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them.
Busa gitawag ni Jesus silang tanan o giingnan. Nasayod ko mo nga ang mga namunuan ni ining kalibutana, nagpahod-hawod o ang mga kadaguan, hangol o gaho.
Alright, so here's what Jesus was saying. In the Gentile system. Gentile means in the world system. The princes. Exercise dominion over people.
Iyang digamhan ang mga tao. Rule. Digamhan.
And here's another prince.
Adunay lahi na pud nga prinsipyo dinhi.
And lots of people.
Nagyapon. Adunay mga tao nga iyahang mga miembro.
But then he said, but those who are great, exercise dominion on them.
Ang ginumalahan usab katong mga prinsipe, ha? Dalawang sistema, gikan sa taas, gikan.
So in other words, you have a pyramid hierarchy.
Buti pa sa buti ni kanang usab ka sino ang klase nga pag-gobyerno.
What happens when you try to make a church into a kingdom? What happens? What's the top men called in the church system? Okay. He could be a bishop. And down here we would finally get our way down to the priest. Of course we have other steps in between. All right, now let's get out of the Catholic Church for a while. Give me a Pentecostal
pastor.
Oh, pastor. Well, in some churches the pastor is here.
Pastor. Ako isaw diri.
But we have to have somebody over the pastor.
Mga associate pastors. Associate.
Now, don't some of the churches have a superintendent?
Yeah.
What is he called?
Superintendent.
Yeah. All right. General superintendent. There we go. That's a general.
General.
General superintendent. And under the general superintendent.
District superintendent.
District superintendent.
Then pastors.
You forgot elders. Some
pastors and elders.
Well, one of them I know, the elder position is higher than the pastor. It's just a name. All right, well, we'll go with this. District superintendent, pastor, associate pastor. And people. Laity. All of this is clergy, and this is laity. No. He says, you know that the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, the princes, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, for whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And that word minister doesn't mean the chief man. It means a servant. She's going to read it.
Apan dili kini mao ang paagi nga angay ninyong sundon. Kung usa ka ninyo gustong ihon nga dako, kinahanglan nyo mag-alagad siya sa tanan.
Now, did your Bible say servant?
Servant.
Okay, now the next verse. Does your Bible say slave? Let me read it. It says, and whoever would be chief among you, let him be your slave. Okay. Now, here's the kingdom of God. On the top is slave. Then we have servant. And then we have people. So in other words, the kingdom of God turned upside down. What did they say about Paul, his preaching? They said Paul came and he preached and he turned the world upside down. What he really did is he turned it right side up. It already was upside down. Amen. Well, there is so much. The whole Bible is the kingdom of God, you know. So much more. You know, when Jesus came to Pilate, I'll just give you this little. When he came to Pilate, Pilate said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And when Pilate heard that, he was afraid. I don't know what superstitions he had about gods. But Pilate was afraid when he heard that. Not of this world. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.